name before we get started?
My name is Billy Quinn.
Okay, thank you so very much, Mr. Quinn, and please hang on as the Honorable Mr. Rudy Kiwanis will be conducting your hearing very shortly, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Quinn, just give me a second. In reviewing your file, I thought you were on home arrest status.
Yes.
Seems like the last action was home arrest.
Yeah, I had that same indication.
Okay, so I'm not sure what's going on. Okay, so Mr. Quinn, was your home arrest revoked recently?
Yeah.
When did that happen, sir?
Well, I've been down 7 years already, and before I came, I think 7 years ago.
It may have been approved, but he hasn't been able to find a placement. That's possible, too.
Sir, was your home arrest approved and you weren't able to find placement?
Yes, my sister and my daughters, my grandson, got denied.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was born in June.
Yeah, really and truly.
Mm-hmm.
He just hasn't been able to go yet.
Okay, well, we'll move forward. We're going to move forward with you on home arrest status.
Yes, sir.
So, again, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
My name is Billy Quinn. My DOC number is 35823.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for 31412A hearing to consider writing a parole, absolute discharge, or whether to continue on home arrest status. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. As you can see on the video conference screen, I'll begin with the opposite side of the bench working toward me. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson.
Yes.
The Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. And my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Quinn, because you were granted home arrest on May 27th, I think dating back to 2014, but I know your last board hearing was on June 18, 2018, and you're still on home arrest status, I will give a brief summary of your case. You're 65 years old, previously charged with, convicted, and sentenced to 2 concurrent life prison terms for offering to sell narcotic drugs in 1976, an offense committed while you were on probation for vehicle theft. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
So I'll ask you right now, because this is interesting to me, how is it that you were sentenced to life for 2 narcotics charges on probation back in 1976?
For sales, they said that I sold to an undercover.
And you received like imprisonment for that?
Yeah, I just fired Fred in 1975. And they gave me I'm under the old code. And I'm under the old code, DCU, a 5-year-life sentence for drugs.
Okay. It seems that in your past history with the Arizona Department of Corrections, you absconded from supervision on 4 separate occasions. So it sounds like for a long time, since 1976, you've been given opportunities to return to the community and had some trouble with those transitions. So did you abscond four different times?
Three times this year.
Three times?
I abscond because I didn't report to the parole office.
You have a prior criminal history, which included burglary, possession of a stolen vehicle, theft, and I think an earlier narcotics charge. Were one of these crimes committed while you were on parole, sir?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, I do not have your community corrections progress report, and now I understand why. It's because you have not been working with a parole officer, is that correct? You've been inside,
yeah.
You've been inside the Department of Corrections this entire time?
Yes, sir.
This appears to be your 31st hearing before the board, with your last hearing on June 18, 2018. In which you were still on home arrest status. So, this is an interesting hearing. I think it's the first time that I've spoken with someone inside the Department of Corrections who has been on home arrest and is still inside DOC. So, I will just ask you simply, tell us about your progress since you were last granted home arrest. And how you are continuing to do inside the Department of Corrections?
Well, I got put in house arrest for 11 months, and I completed it the first time.
Have you, and I will make a quick review here, I don't think, well, 1 second, sir. It would seem that your last discipline was for a minor in 2016, so that was before you were granted home arrest, correct?
Yes, sir.
What is causing the delays in finding placement for you?
Well, one, all I got to say is, for the fourth time already, I've been denied. My sister's been denied. My grandson got denied twice. And my grandson, he will take me in and make sure that I do everything right. If I gotta be somewhere, he's gonna do it and take care of me, but I do have a place to go to.
And was your grandson the last person you mentioned denied also?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you consider seeking residence at a halfway house in the meantime, sir?
Yes, sir, but, they want too much money. They want $50 plus $185, and 2 weeks they want $1,000. That's the only reason that's how come I'm still here. I could have been out already if I had a place to go to.
Are they all that expensive, sir? Aren't there other alternatives? Are there other places you can go to?
I'm the kind of person, I don't hang around with nobody. I'm always myself. And I would like to go somewhere, to a hospital or somewhere, so I can just get out.
Are you having, without getting too personal, Mr. Quinn, are you having health problems?
Yeah, I'm in a wheelchair. A while back, I had like a stroke.
Okay, sir. For the board members, I don't have many other questions to ask, Mr. Quinn. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Quinn, how are you this morning?
I'm doing this fine, sir.
Okay. So, did you talk to your sister, did you say your grandson, and someone else, and they turned them down? Do you know why they were turned down?
Because they got turned down because my daughter's, this was my grandson, and my daughter's, she's sick, she has diabetes, plus asthma, and she's got paperwork from the hospital, she's got to be seen, and he's the one that's looking out for her.
Okay. What about your grandson?
My grandson, my daughter lives with my grandson.
Okay. The daughter lives with your grandson. So who did you say got turned down? It was your grandson, your daughter, and who else?
My sister.
And why did your sister get turned down?
Because her son's been in prison.
Do you know how long he's been out of prison?
He's been out about 12 years.
12 years? So how long have you been in prison?
Did you need a boy?
I've been in prison for about seven and a half years already.
What's the total time that you've been in prison? Do you remember?
Only this time, 7 years and 6 months.
Okay. All right, Mr. Quinn, so you do want to get out of prison, is that right?
Yes, sir. And I'm not the kind of guy that is looking for trouble or I'm out there stealing or nothing. I'm always hanging around by myself and I try to work. I do long work.
Okay. All right, Mr. Quinn. I know at one point that we had asked you to see about contacting your daughter, and I guess you've done that. You don't have the finances to actually go to a halfway house. Do you have any other relatives, sir?
No, I don't. They're all dead.
So what would you do if you was released from prison? Where would you go?
I'll probably go to a shelter or some hospital so they get my medication, take care of my medication. I sure like to get out if I can.
So let me ask you a question. Your daughter, and did any of your family say that if you got out, they would help take care of you? I thought you said your grandson.
Yes, my grandson. His name is Benito.
So do you talk to your grandson, sir?
The only time I talk to him is if it's my counselor. If my counselor let me make a call.
Okay. Okay. All right. Mr. Quinn, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Quinn, just one more second.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Okay, I have another question from my fellow board member, down to Mr. Dave Neal.
Sir, good morning. And, you said you said the halfway houses are too expensive. Have you checked with any of the faith-based halfway houses?
The one that did routine help is from the counselor.
Okay. Well, you understand what a faith-based halfway house is?
No, I don't.
I mean, this is just a suggestion, sir. We're not supposed to make recommendations or anything, but you might talk to your counselor about looking into the one of the faith-based halfway houses. You might have a little better luck there.
Well, she said that she tried a lot of them, and since I'm in a wheelchair, they won't fit me. Like a church in the street and other places, they want money. And I want to apply for, once I get out, I want to apply for security.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Any further questions from the board members? Okay, Mr. Quinn, we are getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We really ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before we go into discussion?
Mm-hmm. I would like to say, hey, if I do make it to get out, you never see me again. Never. I don't want to be come back to prison and die here, you know. No, I want to be out there with my grandkids and help my daughter so she can get well. That's about it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Quinn. The board will be going into discussion. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an interesting situation. I recognize we have to make some tough and responsible decisions on behalf of the people of Arizona. And right now, I personally can't see any benefit in asking for any other type of release other than home arrest. We would want to, at least in my opinion, monitor an individual's transition into the community before they apply for absolute discharge. So with no placement from Mr. Quinn, I'm not seeing much of an alternative other than continuing him on home arrest until he can find suitable placement, but I may be seeing that from a very narrow perspective, and I am open to the input of my colleagues. Yes, sir, the Honorable Ms. Gilbert.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. I agree. I mean, I remember this case from last time. In fact, the record indicates that I was the lead, and if I'm not mistaken, he had been granted before that, too, and was still waiting for placement. So I'm thinking that would be the responsible thing to do in the hopes that something will change with respect to his possible residences. You know, there may be, maybe somebody will move to a different neighborhood or something and there'll be a change. But I would think that would be the responsible thing for us to do.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. And frankly, the reason why I was filing through the package was I had no recollection of this case, and I recognize I was not there when that decision was made, so I didn't know the history. I thought, certainly this must seem familiar to me, but it doesn't. So, yes, Mr. Johnson.
Can we come out of discussion just for a moment? I want to ask Mr.
Yes, Mr. Johnson, thank you.
So, if a person, is there a difference between what the parole office would accept if they're on home arrest as opposed to regular parole? Are the restrictions still the same?
Should be.
So there's no difference in restriction then?
So they'll still be denied.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to. Okay, thank you.
So to be clear, we have the same dilemma with placement,
right,
regardless of whether he's on general parole or home arrest.
So, Mr. Quinones?
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, I had a hard time with this the first time I got it. I'm having a, because I had it before Ms. Rittenhouse had it,
right,
and he extended it for 6 months so that he could contact his sister, because he hadn't contacted his sister, and now he did contact his sister and they were parole. But I tell you what the issue that I have with this is that he's probably served over 30 years in prison for selling under $70 worth of heroin.
Right.
Yes. You know, that's, I mean, I don't see him as being a threat to the community. I don't see him as committing some other crime back in 1976. He sold $30 to an undercover, worth of heroin to an undercover police officer. Then he sold, I believe it was $40 of heroin to an undercover police officer. He wasn't the one who actually sold it. He was the middleman. He took the money, went and got it, brought it back, and gave it to the undercover officer. He wasn't even the drug dealer. But I'm telling you, I'm just having a real problem with the amount of time that he spent in prison and the actual crime that he actually committed. If regular parole is gonna give him a, it's just going to give him, keep him in prison, you know, we parole him, but he's in prison because he can't go anywhere because he's on parole. But for me, this is, and I know this is way out of the realm of what we normally do or what we would normally do, but, you know, I don't think he's a threat to the community. My concern is his safety, whether he has a place to go and what he'll be able to do. But if he has a sister and a grandson that's willing to take him, I mean, but they're not here, though. No, you know, we don't have him actually here. He's followed through on what he says. He just, you know, doesn't really know. I'm just having a hard time keeping this man locked up in prison when, you know, for the crime, you know, under $100 worth of heroin that he sold back in 1976, and he was just the middleman. He wasn't even a dope pusher. He probably was just trying to get some drugs for himself. You know, I suppose he's going to get maybe something, but he was just the middle person taking it from the police and going and get it. So I'm just having, you know, I'm having a time. I think that, personally, I think he's, you know, he's spent, he's paid his debt for the amount of time that he's been locked up in prison. And I wish some of his family was here, because I would have no problem, you know, trying to absolute discharge this man, and if he had a place of family to go. That's just my opinion.
I want to follow up by saying thank you for voicing that. I will be honest to this board and say it's crossed my mind. It almost seems as irresponsible to release him on absolute discharge not knowing where he's going. And that's certainly no promise by me or this board as to how I'm going to vote. But I hear you, and I do see it as an option. It's all, our three choices seem to have pitfalls. So I'm in a dilemma, and I'm certainly open for the discussion. Yes, the Honorable Mr. David Neal.
Back to the issue Mr. Johnson brought up originally, as far as the crime and the punishment, the sentencing was, I've not been on the board that long, but I have never seen one from that time period that was life, not less than 5 years. He was eligible for parole 3 years after he went in 1979, and that's the first time he was released. Now, granted, he hasn't been able to follow the rules real well, but still, he's been in and out. This last time, since he was granted last time, he spent more time in jail than his original parole eligibility, and it doesn't seem right to keep him incarcerated. And until he gets a placement or something, he can't go home to rest at all. And I agree with Mr. Johnson, if we grant home rest, he's had a stroke, he needs medical attention, and we really don't know whether he would end up being released homeless in his wheelchair, or whether he'd have a place to actually go. I wish that his son or grandson or sister, somebody was, at least had sent a letter in saying, "Why need to do this?" So it is, I think it's a real dilemma for the board. I think it's a time to look at compassion, but on that same ticket, that's when you have to worry about the pitfall. The compassion is saying, okay, you can be out of prison, but we don't know that that might be worse for him than being where he's at.
Yes,
we don't know, at least I don't, let me just speak for myself. I don't know why, I understand what Mr. Quinn said, but I don't know why the Department of Corrections or the parole office in this case, why they did not find his family being suitable. One of my concerns would be if we released him even to his family, unless we know what's going on in that house, we have to be very careful. Because, I'm not saying this about Mr. Quinn because I'm not a medical person, I'm not a psychologist, but I would be concerned about someone taking advantage of him, a family member taking advantage of him. I would have that concern until we were made very clear, they were made very clear that that his family member, his grandson or his sister, whomever, would be suitable for him to be in their residence, because we don't know what that grandson or sister, what they might have been involved in, whether it had anything to do with drugs or anything else. I wish that he, years ago, I wish he had not ended up creating all these problems. That creates a problem. That's another problem. If he had been clean during all those years, I don't mean in terms of drugs, but if he had been clean, if he had had a clean record, that would be one thing. One option that I see is he really, and I don't know who would do it, and I'm not recommending this by no means, that he really needs to have someone to consider representing him in the legal system and trying to get this overturned. Because I would not want the board to really go out on a limb and then he goes out and family members or someone does something that would create a problem for him, thinking about him. He's not been out there. And these days, family members do take advantage of, and I can say this because of my age, they take advantage of senior citizens. And I'm not saying that his family would, I'm not suggesting that because I don't know his family, but I do know that some family members will take advantage. And if they don't, someone in the community, because he's been incarcerated and walking around in a wheelchair, will create some problems, something that I just, I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. I just put it that way.
Mr. Quinones?
Yes, Delwin is Gilbert.
Something else to think about is that I believe that two different occasions of the three which he absconded, he left that very residence. He left his sister's residence and absconded from there. So, I mean, that's another thing. Now we're all getting older, and he may not be in as good a physical condition as he was back then, but he left that residence two different times without informing his parole officer, moved out. So, another thing to consider.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Any further information? Yes.
Mr. Dan Gundy, his PO is sitting in the back of the room if there is any questions the board has regarding the investigation of his residence.
Mr. Van Gundy, if you'd like to approach the podium so that we conduct our due diligence. If you can state your name, sir.
Brett Van Gundy, parole officer.
And officer, this is an interesting situation. He's been on your caseload inside the Department of Corrections. So is there anything you could offer the board?
Yes. I have been out to the... Now, forgive me, it's been a while, so I'm trying to recollect, but I've been out to the grandsons a couple of times. The reason that denial for the grandson was made was because of an accusation years ago before me was made by the inmates, a family member that was residing in the house, who at the last time that I went to the house was still there. So because of the unit that I work in with sex offenders or home arrest, he would not be allowed to live in that residence based upon the fact of the accusation of a potential victim that was living in the house. I did go out to the other residence, I believe was his, another family member, I forget who it was, made multiple attempts, went to the house multiple times, letters were left, phone calls were made, nobody ever got back to me. So, but that's why the grandson's was denied.
And are you aware of other halfway house options for an individual who is dealing with disability?
Not really. Not with his, to hang that on you, so to speak. Not with the severity. It would be rough with the severity of his. I didn't even know he had a stroke, so it would be the only one that I would know of, I don't know, would take him, and I don't know would be suitable for him with his needs.
Well, thank you for your assessment.
Yes, sir.
Any questions from fellow board members?
If he was on regular parole instead of home arrest, would that make it a little bit better to find placement for him?
I think that it could possibly open up a few more options. However, if regardless of whether he's on my specific caseload with the type that I deal with, or if he goes to general parole, as long as the allegation was made that I was speaking to earlier is made, general parole would not allow that either, because you cannot reside with a victim. And because the allegation was made, we have to do our due diligence in the best interest of all parties and not allow that individual to reside there. So even on general parole, that wouldn't work.
Is he a sex offender? I didn't...
No, but the allegation was in reference to something like that.
Okay, all right, thank you.
No further questions?
Thank you for being here. We didn't know why you were here today.
Not for this one, another one.
Thank you for being here.
Sure.
You were here yesterday. Yes, sir. In the past, with your experience, is there any type of medical facility that would accept someone like him? He says he's had a stroke. We don't know how severe. We know that he's in a wheelchair. We don't know anything about his medical records at this time. But is there anywhere where he could be?
There are some. No, forgive me, because I've never sent someone there, so I don't know. I don't know what the parameters are, and I don't know what he would have to get in there. But there are some. I know assisted living type of places, but not knowing what his financial and what his insurance would be and all that stuff, I don't know. But yeah, there it would definitely be something that maybe a CO3 could look into for him. But again, not knowing his particular set of circumstances, I couldn't reference one for you. But I do know that there are some types of assisted living out there. I just don't know what the requirements would be.
And then the other thing that, I don't know either, but one that I've taken into consideration, as you've already stated, is his financial condition, because many of these assisted living facilities, although they are non-profit, they are looking for...
In one way, shape, or form.
They're looking for, resources.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know whether the state would have any type of that they weren't supplemented or anything of that nature. Therefore, we have to be very careful in just putting them out there. That's my concern. We're just putting them out there. I wouldn't be comfortable with that at all. But thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Corrales.
Thank you, Doctor. Any further questions from Mr. Van Gundy? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, again, Mr. Quinn.
Yes, sir.
We're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board?
I would like to say I sure like to get out, and I know that I'm never going to come back once I'm out, because I do have my grandson and my daughter that would do anything for me. She mentioned that to the parole board last 6 months ago, and they would make sure that if for any little reason they had a phone and everything, they want to look out for me because they don't want me to come back. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Quinn. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself? So if you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, again, this is a very interesting situation. We all vote independently. And I'm careful not to speak for the board, but I can sense the collective compassion and sense of fairness and justice in this particular case, considering the charges and how long he has been inside the Department of Corrections. Granted, he did not perform well under community supervision, but it's been quite some time. He is becoming a senior citizen with all due respect to age and fighting health issues. I think it comes down to a question of safety and security as to what sort of decision this board can make. And so collecting all the information today, I just cannot see it as responsible to really grant any type of release until we have some sort of understanding as to whether or not we could facilitate a safe transition. So that's where we begin the discussion. Yes, Mr. Neal.
Yes, I think most of the points have been covered fairly well. I think that it's kind of a quandary, but I think that the board like you say, votes independently, but I think there is a collective here on this one that's, I would say, obvious. But I think that the continuing on home arrest is probably the right thing to do. That way, if something has changed in the last 6 months, like with his grandson, the residents, and who's living there, and things like that, if he's still on home arrest and a placement is found next week, he could be released. If we deny the home arrest, then he's got to wait 6 months and go through the whole process again just to get the release. So, and he's been trying to find a placement for 7.5 years. I know that sounds like an impossible task, but no one knows what tomorrow will bring. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Neal, and again, to continue the discussion before I make a motion, it just seems that we have a responsibility to his safety and security, and we know he's safe now. Mr. Johnson.
I am just stuck on this one right here. Because I agree with Dr. Wright that I'm very concerned about his safety and welfare to make sure that that he's okay. You know, we see some things in the news now that, you know, I'd hate for us to release him and then something happens to him and we don't know. I just don't know you know, in my heart, I just felt as though he's done his time. And I just, I'm concerned about his safety and welfare, too. And if we release him just out there to the streets, you know, I think the last time he was out, he's been out 3 or 4 times, you know, and it was one time he was out for, looks like, let me see, he was granted parole in 1998, and then he was revoked in 08, so he's out for 10 years, so you know, I'm not sure why he gets out and go back in, gets out and go back in. He's been out for home arrest. I mean, he's been in and out at least looks like about 5 times, and he keeps going back. The last time he just didn't report to his parole officer. I don't know exactly. I don't have all the paperwork with it, but I'm in agreement that if he doesn't have something stable, then he's probably just going to wind up going back. As that's his record, that he's been. He was first granted parole in 1981. It's the first time that he was granted parole in 1981. He was granted regular parole in 1981, and a year later he was revoked. And so because he has that lifetime sentence on him, then whatever happens, he just keeps, he winds up going back. So I don't want to keep elaborating on the same thing. At some point, if I felt that he was had a place to go and he probably wouldn't, you know, violate, then I would be looking at trying to give him an absolute discharge so he wouldn't be under those restrictions. But I have to be comfortable with at least knowing that if he was released, that he's released to a safe and environment.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Newell.
Another point on fairness. If you look at sentencing, I feel like somebody on the defense side. If you look at sentences and everything else like that, yes, he's been out, he's gone back, but he's, like I say, he's out 10 years. Most people that are convicted and sent to prison for a drug charge like that, that 10-year sentence, they would have expired their sentence in that length of time. They would have expired their sentence usually on the first parole that he didn't succeed on. So, you know, but I totally agree with not granting an absolute discharge at this time, because I don't think he's prepared any way, shape, or form to go out there and with the potential of being on his own. But, you know, I would be in favor of continuing the home arrest. That way, he, you know, if he puts the effort into it, he could possibly get released very soon. And if we deny that and put him back to regular inmate status, then, you know, he's got to at least wait 6 months before he can even try to get out again. So, but it is quite a dilemma we have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is regarding Mr. Billy Quinn, ADC number 035823, is to, and I recognize the language may not be exactly correct, but to continue on home arrest status and to deny general parole, to deny general parole or absolute discharge, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Again, we're going to home arrest, denying general parole or absolute discharge. Motion by myself, and again, who seconded?
Thank you, Mr.
Neal. Just want to make sure. The Honorable Mr. Neal seconded. Agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright. Then Mr. Johnson and the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. I still have to state conditions of release, which seems kind of redundant because he's still been inside the Department of Corrections, but I will check. Follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. Definitely needs a needs assessment and referral. many of these things go without saying, but I'll check them, no alcohol use, random tests for drugs, may not operate a motor vehicle, recommend a halfway house, no contact with victims, abide by institutional rules, partake in available programming. Okay, Mr. Flynn.
Yes, sir.
The board has voted unanimously to continue on home arrest but to deny regular parole absolute discharge. But please hear me. You'll be coming before this board again. I think it's very important that we need I think it's very important that we hear from any support that you have in the community or family. So we encourage you to work with your CO3 in terms of seeking out resources for some sort of halfway house that may accept you with your disabilities.
Yeah.
But we'd also like to hear from your family, because right now we just can't make an informed decision. And I'll speak for myself sincerely. The concern is for your safety and security. I feel compassion for your situation, for how long you've been inside the Department of Corrections. The board has already voted to grant home arrest, but we do have to think of your safety and security. So we highly encourage you to do that research with your CO3, and we'd like to see some support from your family or the community the next time we see you. That's an encouragement. Okay, sir?
Excuse me. Can they come from my grandson?
We won't say exactly who, but any, this is an open meeting. Family members or community support members may attend this hearing or attend by telephone or send letters. But without promises, we'd like to see some sort of support.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Quinn. This is going to bring this hearing to a close, and thank you for appearing before the board today.
Thank you.
And please put the seal on.